Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Prosper.com, America's marketplace for people-to-people loans. Prosper.com, where you can compete to bid on loans to fellow Americans.
Inflation looms larger.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. There are unmistakable signs of inflation out there this morning. The price of wheat has hit an all-time high above $10 a bushel. Wheat prices have doubled this year. The price of oil is at $92 a barrel. Remember, it started 2007 at about $60. This concern about inflation might just kill any hope of a year-end stock market rally. Investors are getting less confident the Fed will keep cutting interest rates. In Japan today, the Nikkei fell 1.7%. Some of the Asian markets fell more than 3%. European shares have fallen 1.5% so far. The Dow starts the week at 13,339. It was down more than 2% last week. So was the Nasdaq. So was the S&P 500. The Federal Communications Commission might be in the mood to relax media ownership rules. The FCC could decide tomorrow whether to allow one company to own a newspaper and a TV station in the same city. More now from John Dimsdale.
The FCC's first try at loosening ownership restrictions was thrown out by the courts as too sweeping. This second, more modest attempt would still allow one company to own both a newspaper and a TV station in any one of the country's top 20 markets. Consumer Reports' Gene Kimmelman says fewer media mean fewer sources of information.
Allowing a monopoly local newspaper to combine with one of the largest broadcasters in a market reduces the amount of competition and the diversity of viewpoints about local news.
But broadcasters and newspapers say the business has changed, and even for local news, there are now blogs and websites, podcasts, and cable channels offering plenty of news. A bipartisan group of lawmakers is asking the FCC to delay its vote for at least 6 months to try for a compromise. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
The last week before Christmas is going to be a 24-hour-a-day shop-a-thon, or at least the stores would like to think so. Macy's plans to pull some all-nighters. Some Kmarts are also staying open 24 hours. Toys R Us will be open until midnight every day until Christmas Eve. The latest figures show retailers are struggling a bit this holiday season. Today's the busiest day of the year for the post office. And like retailers, the Postal Service could use the business. Here's Stacey Vanek Smith.
This year, letter carriers delivered more than 200 billion pieces of mail in the U.S. That's about half the mail delivered in the world. In spite of all that business, the U.S. Postal Service lost about $5 billion. Bob McLean is executive director of the Mailers Council. He says the Internet has cut into mail delivery. People are paying their bills online now, and the Postal Service is struggling to make up the difference.
First-class mail was for decades the largest single mail category, and it remains its most profitable. But in the last 2 years in particular, we've seen some significant declines in first-class mail. That's been made up in part by this increase in standard or advertising mail, but not on a dollar-for-dollar basis.
McLean says the Postal Service is also struggling to keep up with demand. About 2 million new addresses pop up every year. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management, since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by Society for Human Resource Management. Online at shrm.org.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
It looks like that super fund some of the big banks were planning might be dead. The plan was to raise a pool of money and buy up a lot of the bad investments the banks made in the mortgage market. But last week, Citigroup moved $49 billion of those assets onto its balance sheet. Other banks have done the same thing. And they've raised money on their own. Citigroup got an investment from Abu Dhabi. UBS got one from the Singapore government. This has put Alan Sloan in a pretty good mood. Alan, what's got you so cheery?
They're going out hat in hand, or whatever it is a corporation wears in hand, and raising very expensive capital from people to the detriment of their existing shareholders, but it's a smart thing to do. And I started to add up the numbers, and they're very impressive.
Well, the numbers that I've seen, UBS, $11.5 billion, Citigroup, $7.5 billion, Freddie Mac, $6 billion, all adding up to about $40 billion. But aren't the losses going to be $300 billion or something like that?
Right, or maybe $400 billion. They don't have to make up for all of their losses. What these institutions need to do is to have enough capital to buy time for things to work out and resume to normal, whatever that means. I mean, I'm not jumping up and down and saying happy days are here again or anything like that. But one of the things I do for a living, Scott, is I'm a born contrarian. When everyone is pushing tech stocks, I say it's going to end. When everyone is pushing leveraged buyouts, I say it's going to end. And now when the big product on Wall Street seems to be disaster and gloom and depression, I mean, that's going to end too.
And you're basing your optimism on the fact that investors are willing to put their money back into these banks?
I'm basing it on two things. One is that the banks are willing to recognize that they have a problem. As they say, I guess, in the world of shrinks, the first stage towards solving a problem is recognizing that you have one. And the second thing is that they've gone out and raised the money to the detriment of existing shareholders. Because if you look at the structure of the Abu Dhabi deal with Citibank or the Singapore deal with UBS, I mean, this is very expensive for the existing shareholders. But at least the existing shareholders have enough sense not to whine, because this way the existing shareholders will own a piece of something instead of running the risk of having the institution disappear.
Huh. Alan Sloan, an optimist. I never thought I'd see the day. Thanks, Alan.
You're welcome, and now you have.
There's a first time for everything. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.